want to thank you for agreeing to participate in this project. It will surely benefit the community now and in the future. Your interview as well as the other work you've done on the project. The goal of this questionnaire is to produce a detailed, coherent narrative of your story, okay? In the light of that, I want to encourage you to feel free not to worry about providing the right answer or an answer that you maybe feel is too long. So you can say as much about a topic as you would like to say. Before we get started, do you have any questions or concerns?
No.
Okay. And if you feel like you want to pause or you need to pause in the middle of it, just let me know and we can pause the tape and do that. Okay. So first, can you tell me what year were you born in?
1931.
Okay. And where?
Wapa Hill, as far as I know, Wapa Hill.
And that's in Rutherford County?
Yes, I know.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you to speak up.
I'm sorry.
No, you have a very nice voice. It's just that the air conditioner is kind of loud. So you said you were born in Walter Hill, Tennessee in 1931. How would you say, if I asked you your race, what race would you say you were?
Black.
Okay. And what is the last level of school that you completed?
High school. 12th grade.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes.
Let's go back a little bit. So how long have you been married?
Let's see. I married in 52. So that's...
Years. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And is your husband, he's still living, I take it. Okay. So tell me a little about Walter Hill and growing up. Let's go back and tell me a little about what it was like for you growing up.
Well, my mother passed when I was six. So, Dad tried to keep all four of us together, but it was hard. So he got my first cousin to stay with us while he worked. And when it got to be just a little bit much, well, she had to take care of her family too. So I had an aunt between Louisville and Shelbyville, Kentucky. So she agreed to take all four of us. Otherwise, we would have been split, and Dad didn't want that. So we moved to a little place between Louisville and Shelbyville called Long Run, Kentucky.
Okay.
So we stayed there about 39, I think, and we went up there. It's about five or six years because I hadn't started to school when I went to school, but you know the school was quite a distance from where we lived. So it was just sometime you went, sometime you didn't go, because I was the oldest of four children.
Okay.
So anyway, when I got up there, to my disappointment, I could not read, even though I was, you know, just had turned seven, like in April.
Okay.
So I was really embarrassed to the fact that I couldn't read, and the other people in my class could read. I knew the ABCs or something. So I told my aunt, which I called her mother, that I really wanted to learn how to read. And she said, okay. So she got this cousin of her husband, name was Flora Graves, to tutor me. And I learned how to read out of the Bible. So when I started back to school in, I guess, September, whatever, I could read a little bit. So I was thankful for that. So that's where I got my start from reading was from the Bible.
Okay.
And it was a very rural area. I mean, super rural.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of on a hill. And down below it, the hill, it was a little thing we called a creek.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a swinging bridge across it. That's the only way you could get on the other side when it rained a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle George, it was her husband, George Clark. He had a old horse named Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he transported from one.
So you were talking about, you were for the rural area. So was your uncle a farmer or?
Yeah, he was. He was a farmer because he raised tobacco and they had a garden because they had an orchard. She had apples and pears. And I don't know what else. Chicken. The chicken yard. But he was a poor farmer, so we had to really work hard to make ends meet. In the summer, we picked blackberries to sell. Then we had to carry them out to the road, so to speak, main road, to sell them. And in the wintertime, well, we knew what it was to eat scarcely. We had food, but it wasn't the best of food, as I learned now that I know a little bit about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Like some animals we ate, like groundhogs and possum, rabbits were just a royal feast.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, she would take nothing and make a meal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this was your aunt?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We weren't hungry. We was never hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But we never had fancy food until Sunday.
Okay.
And then, she worked. She had a job. So she got a job on this farm where my other aunt lived. She got a job cooking and doing housework. So she wanted us closer to her. Well, that's in the beginning, you know, when we first went up there. We stayed with Aunt Marie. And mother's name was Eartha, so we stayed with Aunt Marie and Aunt Eartha in Kentucky. And one day, we decided we wanted to play on the highway. So my aunt that worked was where she could see the highway and us playing.
Mm-hmm.
So she left to come up there and gave us all a good spanking. So
okay.
And we went back in the yard. So, then finally she decided, you know, to go back home and stay and take us back in the forest.
So you mean, when you say home, you mean she took you back to
her,
the farm?
To her house, yes, right. Uh-huh, because she lived on the place where she worked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she took you back to where your uncle lived.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you said that your dad moved you guys up there. Did he go with you?
No, no.
Okay.
He was here.
He
stayed
was
here.
Walter Hill.
Yeah, so he could work here. But he didn't have anybody to look after us here, after our owner, which my cousin was taking care of us. She needed to be with her family, too.
Okay. So, now, you mentioned that you lived in a rural area when you were growing up. You moved to Kentucky when you were about 7?
I guess I was 6, going to be 7.
6?
Because it was like in the first of March, well, last of March when we moved, and my birthday wasn't until April 6, so I guess I was 6.
Okay, so when you were there, did you grow up there or did you guys move again?
Uh-huh. We grew up there.
You grew up there?
No. We stayed there until Daddy remarried. Then he came and got us.
How old were you about then?
I was in the seventh grade.
Okay, so you guys lived with your Aunt Eartha and her husband for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved back.
Yeah, Daddy came and got us, yeah.
Okay.
After he remarried.
Okay, so when you were living with Aunt Eartha, what did you like to do? What did y'all like to?
We went to church.
Mm-hmm.
We were just, they were staunch Christian workers in the church. Had to go to church. Like on Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting. Then we had a little children's band called Sunshine Band. We were active in that. Mm-hmm. And Sunday school, we went there, did that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as really having children fun, we didn't have too much of that.
You didn't have too much of that?
Not too much of that. Mm-hmm.
Didn't play any games or anything?
Well, we played hopscotch and stuff like that, you know. But I guess the difference is now we have so much to offer children. And at that time, I don't guess they really had a lot to offer because actually we didn't have a radio.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because TVs hadn't been expanded. So it was very, like I said, a very rural life. But we had prayer meeting. And my aunt would pray so long. We all got on our knees.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say her long prayer. And we would be on our knees so long till we actually would go to sleep while she was praying.
Okay.
And then we each had to pray. So I really learned a lot about Christianity and the Bible and stuff like that through her, because she taught us that. She really did.
Okay.
And I learned how to work in church. And in fact, I went to my first convention when I was 11. It was a fact-finding conference in Louisville. So my cousin Flora, that taught me to read, she took me. And it was really, really interesting. And from that day on, I love conventions, conferences, whatever.
Like, yeah. All kinds or like church conferences?
Any kind of convention.
Really?
That I get to go to, yes.
Okay. When you moved back with your dad, when your dad came and got you, what kind of things did you guys do back in Walter Hill?
Well, we did have a little more playtime. We played because it was cousins all up and down the road. First cousins.
Mm-hmm.
The one that kept me. Then her brother and sister lived right in that area, so it was from house to house. And then we had to, we really moved up because we started milking cows.
You started milking cows?
Yeah, milking cows.
Okay.
And raising cotton instead of tobacco.
Okay.
So we had to go to barn at early in the morning, about 4 o'clock, to milk the cows in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then go back in the late evening and milk them again. So I love to do housework. So most of the time when they would be milking, I would be doing something in the house, cooking or getting the food ready, etc. We had, I don't remember how many cows, but we sold what you call A-grade milk. And, you know, it just, ours went to a different place than others went, because everybody was milking and raising cotton. But, as I said, that was a pretty good life because we were kind of getting up on the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wonderful stepmother.
Okay.
She was a mother. She was really, I knew her more than I did my real mother because she was there when I got old enough to realize, you know, what a mother was.
Right.
I think she kind of spoiled us, too, because as we got our milk check every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
she would see to it that we had something new. To wear at a church. And that was really, I think she's bored us because it wasn't necessary, you know, to get a new outfit like that. It wasn't.
Uh-huh.
But she did it. And we was her children. Nobody messed with her children. She was real protective of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the best she could with 4 children that wasn't hers.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, she's more like my mother.
Now, did she have any children of her own?
No.
So it was just you four. Okay. Now, you mentioned when you were in Kentucky living with your aunt and your uncle, you went to school because your cousin Flora taught you to read.
Mm-hmm.
What was the school like in Kentucky?
It was on a higher level than this one was here because, you know, it was down in the wooded area behind our church now.
Mm-hmm.
And But we rode, had to ride about 12, 15 miles to that school after walking to catch the bus to ride there. And it was it was in Berrytown, and the name of the school was Forest School.
Okay.
And the principal was Mrs. M.B. Robinson. I will never forget her.
Mm-hmm.
She was very good. We had, chapel every morning.
Mm-hmm.
We had prayer and Bible scriptures and all that every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had plays in school. They called them operettas.
Okay.
And it was just totally different on another level. I think the culture was a little bit different in Kentucky. The further north you go,
mm-hmm.
the more it changes. And I found out that. And in fact, you know, they talk a little bit different. And my mother taught us some certain things the children just didn't do.
Right.
And like girls, you know, your body was yours, and you don't let people play over your body. She instilled that into us.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back down here, well, no, I better stay in Kentucky.
Well, I mean, so you said that you guys, the day started, you had church, you had prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else happened? So once you finished your prayer, the principal finished the prayer.
Yeah. Well, we I seemed like she came to, from room to room to have that devotion. Oh, we all were together.
Mm-hmm.
We went into our, you know, lessons.
Okay.
And, of course, they had more than one teacher there, like at Bethel. Like they had two teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the teachers, but now that I know what teaching is all about, they weren't the best.
They weren't the best teachers? Okay.
No.
So what kind of lessons did you have?
We had English, math, reading, history, geography. I remember all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's about health, a little health.
Okay. Now, your school in Kentucky, you mentioned that it was really religious and it was different than the schools here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, like, what one of the differences was?
It was in a little place, they called it Berrytown, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a little, not a village, it was a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And see, out here, it was just like down in the woods.
Right.
So, and then out there, it was right across the street from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do some activities. We would go over there to church and have our operettas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a different setting.
It was just a different setting.
Just different, yeah.
Okay. What about the racial or ethnic background of your students? Was it?
Oh, they were, you know, then it was all black.
Okay.
All black.
Okay. And what about your teachers?
The teachers were good.
I mean the race of your teachers.
Oh, they were all black too.
Okay.
Because like this was in the 40s.
So it was
integration
still,
had taken place.
Okay, so it was still, you still went to school in segregation.
Right.
And you said the teachers in Berry were good?
Yeah, Berrytown.
Berrytown?
The school was named, it was Forest School.
Okay.
Yeah, they were good.
What'd you like about them?
Well, they had patience with you, and they presented the lessons in a way that you really wanted to study
mm-hmm.
and learn. And they were just about the job of teaching, wherein the teachers down here, well, they had to cook, you know, help cook the meal,
mm-hmm.
school, but eat lunch. And they just wasn't up to par, you know, mm-hmm. now that I know, as I said, what a teacher is all about.
Right. So the teachers in Berrytown were more nurturing, do you think?
Yes.
Okay. Were there any kinds of rivalries or tensions at the school in Berrytown? No? Any sports rivalries or anything like that? Did you guys have sports teams?
We had, no. Not at that time.
Okay.
Because we just play ball, you know, among ourselves.
All sort of ball together. But that was more like in elementary school.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So now when you came here, you mentioned the school here. What was the name of the school here?
Bethel.
Bethel?
Bethel. Bethel.
Okay. And so how far do you have to travel to get to Bethel?
I said about 3 or 4 miles. We had to walk.
You had to walk?
Walk to school. Yeah, we had to walk to school.
Okay.
But we cut through the fields and the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And walked.
Right. So unlike there where you had to walk so long and then get on the bus, you just had to walk.
To the school. Yeah.
To the school.
Even though that was a white school closer to my house.
Oh.
But that was before integration.
Okay. So, because it was segregated, you had to attend Bethel.
Right.
Okay. Were there any sport? Did you guys have any sports teams or anything like that?
No. What, all we did was play ball.
Okay.
Play ball and hide and go and see, go with hide and seek, whatever that is.
Hide and go seek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that where you went to high school?
No, I went to Holloway.
You went to Holloway High School?
Yeah, I graduated from Holloway.
Okay, so we'll get to those years in a minute. When you were at Bethel and when you were at Barrettown, what were some of your favorite subjects? What would you like to learn about?
I've always loved reading.
Okay.
I like, and to this day, I like to read. If I had to do it now, comprehension is great. You know, if you read, you got to remember what you're reading.
Right.
And I've learned that in my later years. Mm-hmm. That was very important. My grandchildren, going to school, I found that, hey, you got to know what you read. Even though you might read real good and you can't remember, it's not too good.
Right, or if you don't understand.
Right.
Okay. Now, you said you went to high school at Holloway High School.
Yes.
Was it still segregated?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because I graduated in 50, so.
Okay.
Yes, I was during the segregation age, very much.
Were your teachers still, so the school, so
okay.
Your students were all black?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what about the teachers?
They were all black, too.
They were all black, too? Did you have any special rivalries in us? Did y'all have a special rivalry?
I was from the country. Mm-hmm. And my classmates, most of them from the city. So that's like city versus country. And, you know, if you were in the country, you weren't up to the city life.
Talk to me some about the city
which is right. It was right because they had more conveniences than we did.
Such as?
Inside toilets, some of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they had access to football fields. They did play football.
Mm-hmm.
Rivalry, so to speak, in high school.
So like country versus city?
No, high school versus high school.
Oh, okay.
And I think the big thing then was the Cedar Bucket tournament, or whatever they called it.
Okay.
They played it every year. And that was Shelbyville versus Murfreesboro.
Okay.
And in high school, I had the opportunity to sing in the glee club. I suppose that's all I do. But I didn't have a very good algebra teacher because the principal taught me, and he was doing his principal work, trying to teach us too. So you know who was low on his totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
Was the class.
Who was low on his totem pole?
His class, because he had to go
oh.
do his business at work most of the time. Sometimes he didn't even come. So I didn't have a very good algebra background.
Okay.
And geometry was almost as bad because we had the ag teacher.
The agricultural teacher was teaching geometry?
Teaching geometry. So you can imagine, I was dumb in algebra, and then come along geometry.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I survived, and I made it. Because I was the only one from my area of Walter Hill going to high school then.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was the first from Walter Hill area to graduate from high school.
Really?
Yeah.
First
black.
Now, you see, your voice got real soft when you said that you were the first person from your town.
Yeah, it's kind of, it makes you, like you kind of feel alone, and it was kind of lonesome at times. It really was.
It was lonesome
because I was the only one, going.
Okay. So did you have to walk? How far was Holloway from Walter Hill?
Okay, it's like 10 miles, but I didn't walk. The bus was running, the Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that.
So you had to get on the Greyhound bus?
Uh-huh.
And go?
To the bus station here in Rutgersburg.
Mm-hmm.
And then walk to Holloway.
And how far was the bus station from Holloway?
I'd say about a mile and a half, but then it was several walking, so
okay.
It was like fun.
So by the time you got into the city, you had people to walk with.
Mm-hmm.
But like on the Greyhound, did you have to come by yourself? You came by yourself?
Uh-huh.
Is that the part that was so lonely?
Mm-hmm. But I mixed and mingled and survived.
So
that was another bus too that they called it Trailways.
Mm-hmm.
That ran through that trip going to Lebanon.
Okay.
And the Greyhound came from Nashville that way.
Okay. So can you, you said that was it, I just want to clarify the loneliness, if that's okay with you.
Okay. I don't know, you said, the first year or two, I didn't mix and mingle too good well. I was kind of doing my own thing, getting my lessons. And then I began to, you got to go, these are people that you got to go to school with. So just be a little bit friendly. Well, the thing that turned me off when I have a cousin, my mother had my stepmother had a cousin that lived here. They're right over there, in fact, William Lee Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought a whole bunch of girls, him and William Betty, a bunch of girls out one Sunday to eat homemade ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't know the ages. I thought that they were, I didn't know. And when I got here to high school, those same girls I was in class with.
Right.
It was just freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they didn't remember me, but I had to make them.
They helped them. Remember.
Yeah, I helped them.
So it was hard. So when you say lonely, you mean in high school it was hard to make friends?
It was hard. I think I was just kind of, drawn inside. How you don't go out. You're just kind of in your own shell.
You were shy.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the word I'm looking for. I was shy. That's right. And I still am to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not nothing like I was, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was a time in my life I talked too much, so I had to shut my mouth.
And when was that, when you talked too much?
In church, especially. Because my aunts, they taught me, if you know something's not right, you get up and speak. You say, you don't still sit with your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of issues in that area.
Okay. Now, you mentioned when you were living with your aunt and y'all were playing in the street, y'all got a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the usual way that your aunt and uncle disciplined you?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my uncle, he didn't touch us.
Okay.
But mother, she did not spare the rod. She would whip you with anything almost, really. I mean, she... Yeah, she would more or less. Now it was really beating. It was like child abuse.
Uh-huh.
Now,
Now she would go to jail.
She would go to jail. She'd be under the jail.
Okay. And what about when you moved back with your dad?
He was, you know, dad was a very easy man. He would get angry, but he was an humble man. He was a small man.
Mm-hmm.
And he expected you to do what he told you to do.
Right.
But as far as being, I say what is brutal,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, like mother.
Mm-hmm.
Mother is going to take up a stick and knock you out, you know. I mean, not, he would think he was out, but I mean, she would literally beat us to get the right thing in us.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I guess she was beating it out of us. Because I realize a lot of things, the way she used to discipline us, it just wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessary for us. I mean, wow. And one of my sisters, she was hard to learn.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't stay with her as my sister next to me. And she would just beat that child. I mean, beat.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
help her remember.
Mm-hmm. To the extent, so one time she hit it on the head with something, and I don't know if it cracked her skull or not, but it looked like it was soft.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, and my brother, I don't know. And if things happen in the family, you know you was going to get a beating, you might say I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which was normal, I guess, for a child to know he's going to get beat.
Well, and okay, so it sounds like there was a very, when in your dad's house, if he asked you, if he told you to do something you didn't do it, then what happened?
Well, he might spank you. I said, didn't I tell you to do that like that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you took that tone, you just ran and did it.
Right.
Try to catch up with what you didn't do.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't an outwardly mean person and beating some sense into the children, shall I say.
Yeah.
He didn't use those tactics.
What about your stepmom?
She never
whipped you at all?
No, she would say she was, but she never did.
Okay. And what about at school? Did they?
Yeah, they would spank you in your hand with a ruler,
uh-huh.
Give you so many licks.
Uh-huh.
That's the extent of that.
And now, was that the same at all of the schools, or was
in
it
Kentucky?
No, I mean,
down here too.
Yeah.
No, I think Miss Rosenberg used switches or something.
Okay.
Like I didn't go that long, and I was just trying to get out of there. So.
Okay. How long did you go to Bethel?
Well, in the first year I went, I was in the seventh grade, so she held all of them back, and my sisters and my brothers. Back in the same grade because she claimed they didn't know, but see, coming out of Kentucky, they knew more,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't show it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. She'd write a problem on the board, I'd have the answer before she got through writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, I'm going to just pass you on to the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
in eighth grade, you still went to Bethel, or did you
uh-huh.
go to Howell?
No, I went to Bethel.
Okay.
And then I had this girl was my best friend, Rose Matthews. She was the best friend I had all through the years. So she was in eighth grade, too.
So did Rose go with you to Howell?
No, she didn't go.
So she stopped after?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
she didn't have, her mother was dead too. So she lived, her father brought them up. So then, you know, parents didn't insist that you go to high school
mm-hmm.
because they was raising cotton and et cetera. So, you know, you stayed home and helped them.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't go. But my cousin went, did he go? Yeah, but they didn't live in Sharon area where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went. I believe, I don't know.
So it sounds like your family were kind of invested in you going to school.
Yeah, I told Ed I wanted to go.
Okay.
And so he did. You know, they insisted. Well, they made arrangements for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. But as I said, then when I go up to Milken in the morning, then I'd have to help at the house to get breakfast ready. Then I had to get dressed, catch the bus.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your do you think your parents had any other plans for you, or what do you think they wanted you to do with your life?
I don't think they had any other plans.
You don't think they had any other plans?
No.
Okay. So now you mentioned when you were at Holloway that you were in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
What other stuff do you like to do as a teenager?
Oh, wasn't much to do, but go to the movies.
Uh-huh.
And, play games, play up and down the street. Well, it was a road by our house. And like I said, I had a cousin over here and a cousin over there right across in front of each other and a cousin down the road. So we'd go from house to house.
And you guys were surrounded by family. What was your favorite song when you were a teenager?
My favorite song? Well, now, in Kentucky, you know, we didn't have a radio.
Right.
And if we had one, we couldn't listen to blues, as you call it. But when we came back, Daddy got a radio, and I really didn't pay that much attention to what they were saying, because then, you know, the Fairfield Bowl was booming in Nashville. I didn't pay that much attention to sounds, really, until I got in high school. That's the truth.
Okay, and what kind of music did you like in high school?
Oh, rock and roll.
Like who?
Like, what's it, my Jordan, that man, like, B.B. King. Love that man today. And that was a, all those soulful singers.
Mm-hmm.
I like them.
So you like the soulful singers, B.B. King?
Yeah, I like blues. Yeah, I like that.
What'd you like about it?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I just like that. They said, well, the blues, they said most of it is telling a story of your life or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that feeling that when I start singing, it makes some weird feeling come over you. And I like spirituals, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just like Mahalia Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And that man out of Aretha Franklin's father.
Oh, Reverend Franklin.
Yes, I liked him.
And what about Aretha Franklin?
I like her.
Okay.
I like her. I like Aretha. I like Gladys Knight. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
And Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I liked him. And Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes?
It is such a person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Barry White. There's a man, his last name is Jordan, I can't think of it. He used to say, I want to rock this house tonight. I don't know what his name was.
Was he a blues singer?
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Jordan.
His last name was Jordan.
Okay. Well, we'll think of it, and if we come, if we think of it, we'll come back to it. So now, did you guys, you said your dad got a radio. Did you guys, when you were younger, did you have a television or anything like that?
I don't know. They hadn't been around.
Okay. And you said you liked to read. You've always liked reading.
Yeah, I like to read. I would read magazines,
mm-hmm.
Sunday school books, the Bible. After I learned how to read, I really didn't read it like I should. Sunday school books, magazines,
mm-hmm.
just anything I could get my hands on.
Okay. And what were your favorite foods? Would you like to eat?
Well, I tell you, it wasn't possible. fried chicken. Mm-hmm. Fried chicken. And chicken and dressing. I like that. And fish. I'm a seafood eater. I love fish. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we had a pond not far from our house, and we used to look down fish out of that pond. It's nothing like fresh fish.
Now, is that the house in Walter Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Growing up in Walter Hill? Okay. Now, when you were growing up, in Kentucky, what was the largest meal of the day?
Well, it would be supper. But when we was with Aunt Marie, they came home for dinner, so she would cook the midday meal, too.
Okay.
Have it hot.
Okay.
But at Eartha's, it would be supper, you know, snick-knacked in between breakfast and that.
Now, supper is not lunch, is it?
No, that's the night meal.
Okay, that's the night meal.
Evening meal, sometimes. It's, about 6:30.
Okay, so that's the 6:30 meal. And when you live with your Aunt Marie, she made a midday meal.
Yeah, she cooked that.
And that's what you're calling dinner?
No, that would be lunch.
That would be lunch.
It's not like a sandwich, so she wouldn't have, like, it wouldn't be like a sandwich like I would get mine.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a full meal. She'd put pinto beans on when she could get through with breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
But lunchtime, we done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, pinto beans. I love pinto beans. They don't like me very good now, though.
Did you love them growing up?
Yes. I love pinto beans. I love red nose and white beans.
Uh-huh.
But it's funny, the people in Kentucky, they didn't eat pinto beans like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh.
They didn't eat pinto beans? What kind of beans and things did y'all eat?
White, green olive, and the little hard navy beans.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they ate more navy beans than they did the green olive at that time.
Okay. And so when you were growing up, when you came back to Walter Hill and was growing up, what was the largest meal?
I would still say the midday meal.
The midday meal.
Because my man,
mm-hmm.
She would cook because we worked on a farm,
mm-hmm.
and go back for lunch.
Okay. Now you mentioned moving because of your mother's passing. Did you travel a lot, or did you travel at all when you were young?
Yes, we would come back down here to see Christmas. Look, it'd take us all day to get here. You know, it's just on the outside of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Do it good now.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 hours, but the bus, you know, they would stop at every little stop.
Right.
So it was like we'd leave home at dark and get here at dark.
Okay. Anywhere else? Did you ever go anywhere else?
As a child?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Just to Louisville and that's about the size of it.
What about as you were growing up? Did you ever travel?
Not in Buffalo, Nashville.
Not any further than Nashville. Okay. What about your parents? Did they ever want to?
No, that wasn't in their mind, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever thought about traveling outside of the country?
Hawaii, maybe. Hawaii, maybe, but
nowhere
else. I don't think. No.
Okay. You did, and you mentioned the highest you went to school was college?
No, high school.
High school, I'm sorry. What kind of jobs have you had?
Well, I worked in, when I first got out of high school, most of the thing I did was day work, domestic help.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked in a factory, heat crab out here, on Woodbury, going to Woodbury. I worked there from 72 to 81. And then I was laid off from out there. And I did odd jobs. And then I worked at Textron in Nashville.
What kind of job work did you do there?
Fabrication. Then I left when I went out. I was a stock clerk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long did you work there?
From 83 to 87.
Okay. And then you work anywhere else?
Since 87, I did, you know, just here and there work, different places. And then this boy that I worked for when I was little, I raised him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted me to come take care of his baby. I didn't know he had a baby, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I told him I'd think about it. It was right after Christmas in 98, I think. So I went, looked at his baby, and I've been there ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So I still take care of his 14-year-old baby.
So you take
3 days a week.
So you're taking care of, so you're like a nanny?
More or less.
Okay.
He called me his other grandmother.
His other grandmother. Now, is this the man that you're working for? Is he a white man or black?
White.
Okay. Okay. So why did you choose to, what led you to doing the domestic and the factory work?
Well, the domestic, I would work for the people that owned the place out there where we lived in Walter Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to her house every morning and help her a little bit. And she was a good cook. And eat lunch, wash dishes, and come back home.
So
for $3 a week.
So was your dad a sharecropper, or did he own the land?
Sharecropper.
Okay.
Sharecropper.
Okay. And we'll talk more about your dad and your grandparents later. But now, what about your husband? Tell me about your husband.
Oh.
Was he ever in the military?
No. No, he had to go be examined for the Army. He ate salt all that day. Mm-hmm. Just salt. He didn't want to go.
And so he ate salt.
I don't know what he did for him, but he didn't go.
Okay. Just based on what you told me, you've led a pretty interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it compares to other folks growing up around the same time as you?
I thought it was hard then, you know, having to leave my dad and go up there. But I am so glad I went up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, I wouldn't be what I am then, not that I'm on it so much. I just wouldn't be there. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would have been.
Okay.
I mean, I always wanted to do better. And my aunt, Eartha, she taught me no matter what you do, do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Be good at whatever you do. So, like, if you're digging dishes, be the best dish digger there is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always stayed with me. So if you clean somebody's house, well, you know, you clean it like it was your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your own house half clean, but like, man, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I do believe in doing whatever you do, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in working in church, well, I've been a Sunday school teacher, taught all Sunday school classes, vacation Bible school director, and as now I'm still director of Sunday school. But I have to pick people for Sunday school teachers. And if I think a person is not qualified, she said, to teach Sunday school, not that it takes all that much. Well, I'm reluctant to put them in a spot like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not, so some people put people there with my cousin and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a good idea to do that, because I think it hurts them, it hurt you, and it hurt them too, because actually my assistant director, I think it's a thing that, you know, if you're an assistant, you will automatically be a director.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking to him, he doesn't want to be a director, and I don't think he wanted to be an assistant. I think family ties. But for that reason, I help him all I can. He's a very sweet person. I help him all I can. But I'm just not about putting people in a position where I know they're not able to function like as they should. Mm-hmm. I said, even if it's me, I think if a person know that I'm not doing a good job, mm-hmm. I would like them to tell me.
Right.
I'll try to help me.
Right.
So even as my family,
mm-hmm.
if I know that they can't do it, I mean, I just would rather them not be in that position, because my sister, they made her secretary of something in our association.
Mm-hmm.
They never said we couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I couldn't just go to her and say, I don't think she can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she probably wouldn't have forgiven me and them either.
Right.
So I left that alone.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about your family. We've talked about your dad.
Husband.
Well, let's talk about your dad and your aunts first. What was the highest level of education your dad got?
Oh, Dad didn't finish. He didn't finish the 8th grade. I don't think. I don't know how far he got. Very limited.
Okay. And what were some things that he liked to do?
He liked to cook.
Mm-hmm.
He liked to bake cakes on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He loved trying to make things. He was what you call a jack-leg carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd make anything. And in fact, the house that they was living in when he passed, he redid that by himself because this woman couldn't have it. She gave the property to him.
Okay.
And he had to do a whole lot of work on it. So he literally did that himself. But he loved to build, just make things, whatever. He
mm-hmm.
made things at the church, worked on the church. He was just a little jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
He very sweet disposition, quiet. Everybody loved him. He'd get up in church and say, I love everybody. Say, yeah, they never done that.
What kind of thing? You said those were his interests. Is that also how he made a living? So.
Oh, no, he's a farmer.
Okay.
Sharecropper. He just did that.
Okay.
He never ventured out.
Okay. You said that he would get up in church and say, I loved everybody. Do you remember any other, like, old sayings that he might have had?
Oh, he would twist his head. It was kind of a strange little way he had it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now, Sugar Bell, you know that's not right. He always taught us that you need to save something. Don't spend everything you make. That didn't sink in good with me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him for saying it. But I guess I always wanted some of the best, some nice things, shall we say, like other people.
Mm-hmm.
But Daddy, he would, as I said, as he moved on up the ladder, he wanted stuff, you know, different. He wanted, deep freeze and all that, which he didn't have in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The TVs and all that. He wanted stuff too.
Right.
Not just basic things, he wanted stuff. But whatever you do, he said, you know, you need to work for it, work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Work hard for it. So I was taught to work.
So now, it sounds like he had the same kind of ethic as your aunt, Eartha,
mm-hmm.
mama.
Mm-hmm.
Were they brother and sister?
No.
Okay, so.
No, Eartha was my mother's sister.
Okay. Okay. And you said that she was a cook.
Yeah, she could cook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could lay out some food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she'd have one Labor Day, I remember she had a the preacher to come to our house, you know. And she, I mean, it was just, she had first class stuff when it comes to laying it out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
She knew how to do that.
And what were some of the things that she liked to do?
She liked to cook. She liked to cook.
Okay.
She loved to cook. I would say cooking.
Okay.
And raising her nieces.
And raising her nieces and nephews.
And we weren't the only set that went there to live.
Okay.
She had other first cousins, my first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
born out of Nashville, Rosalie, and her family lived up there. And then Aunt Octave and her family ended up up there. So. And in fact, that's how Marie got up there, was through mother.
Okay.
And her family used to live there.
So, Aunt Marie, your mother raised Aunt Marie.
No, she didn't raise her. She was grown, but she husband died or something happened to them.
Okay, so she went up there to stay with them. Okay. And what about your stepmom?
My mate was a mama, that's what she was. She's my mama, like I tell people. She was more of a mother to me than my...
Than your birth mother.
Than my birth mother, because she was there through the years. Mm-hmm. And like, at 6 years old, you don't remember too much. It's just bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So she was there for us, all of us. And I said, you didn't mess with her children. We were her children, all four of us. And it's just...
Now, you said your mom died when you were a baby. How old were you?
I was 6 when mama died.
Okay.
She died in, I think, 39, I believe.
Okay.
I think it was 1939.
Do you know how she died?
I thought it was childbirth all the time, but I don't know if there's anything wrong with her. Not because she talked about her head hurting. So, in fact, we had to be real quiet because just the sound of us walking. I don't know what else that happened, but I do know that there was a child. She had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It was born. They said it lived one day. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until Mary lifted up. Mary Watkins lifted up the computer.
Uh-huh.
Right now.
While you were growing up, did anybody tell you or talk to you about slavery?
Well, not really. I guess some of them members of my family were slaves, but they didn't dwell on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my grandfather, my mother's father... I don't know about if he was involved in slavery. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Never talked about it. But I imagine his parents were.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine. But I don't know that for a fact.
So what do you remember? What do you know about your grandfather?
Grandparents. I just know that they used to live up at Las Casas beside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go up there to visit. And I don't remember too much about it. I remember it was a little wooden house. It seemed like it had something like a walk-through, and then there was another area with rooms on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of my first cousins were there living with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they all got in. Now that I'm grown, I don't know how they all fitted into that
one space.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you know anything about what your grandparents did for a living or anything like that?
I'm sure they were sharecroppers too.
Were there any, besides your family members, were there any older folks in the community who really impacted your life or really taught you life lessons?
Except for this cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was play cousin, but Laura,
mm-hmm.
that taught me to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just something about her that... I liked, she was from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that, you know. But it was just always something about her that I liked. I don't know. She was just...
Mm-hmm. From your family and from your parents and your grandparents, what do you think some of their greatest challenges in life were?
Say taking care of their children,
mm-hmm.
Providing the basic needs for them, not having a lot of money, but just working to take care of the children. I would say that. Mm-hmm. I would say that would be a challenge for them.
Okay. And how do you think they coped with that challenge?
I think they did very good because they didn't have a choice, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. They had to take care of the children somewhere or another. Mm-hmm.
So they just did it?
Mm-hmm. They just did it.
Okay. Now, tell me a little about your husband. I notice every time I mention him, you smile.
Oh, James. James is a good person. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always come out like that.
Well, where's he from?
He's from here.
Is he?
He's from, he grew up down on the other side of Nashville, I believe.
Okay.
But he's from Walter Hill. His dad, they live in Walter Hill, too. Mm-hmm. But he worked on the farm. Now he didn't go to high school either. But he's a hard worker. He works hard and he provides for his family. I've always had a roof over my head, mm-hmm. and I've always had plenty to eat. He's a hard worker. Mm-hmm. He's not as patient as I would like for him to be.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't use good English all the time. Mm-hmm. But he loves his family. And he's not an outgoing man. You look at him and you say, oh my gosh, he's mean. But he's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his way.
So how'd y'all meet?
We was on the farm, in fact.
You met on
how the farm? Okay. We were out in the field. I knew it, but we were out in the cotton field. Mm-hmm. They were going to ply corn in the back field. And he and his brother. And I said, how are your children? How are your boys doing today?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's what I said. And, like, I'm just 1 year older than you.
Okay.
So, but as I said, he's not very outgoing, but he's good in his way because he's made a living for me.
So has he always been a farmer, or did he change jobs?
He's been a farmer all his life.
Okay.
No. he worked on the farm before we married. Mm-hmm. Then after we married, he went to what we call public work. He went to Gordon Bay in Nashville, worked down there.
Okay.
And then he worked here at a James's Block Company, was the next place. And then it's a box container place.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of the name of it. Worked there for years.
So what was it like? What was your courting or dating like? Did y'all go out on
a lot of dates? Oh, he had a little T-Mod Ford. A little Ford. It was an old Ford. We would drive to town and sit on the mink slide and look at people go by.
What is the mink slide?
That's its area in Murfreesboro.
Mm-hmm.
Around the square.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's on the right-hand side if you're coming into town.
Uh-huh.
It's where the people used to congregate. There used to be a restaurant down there, mm-hmm. barbershop. It's not there anymore. But anyway, we'd sit in the car and watch people walk by.
Mm-hmm. And that was the date.
That was the date. That was the date. He didn't like to go out anywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a pleasure really to go.
So, like, when he asked you to marry you, what'd your father think of it?
I guess he thought it was a good idea, because his father lived on the same farm that we lived on.
So your families knew each other? Okay. So what did his parents think of you?
Well, some of them liked me and some of them didn't.
Okay.
One of the sisters, I think she came to the courthouse to see his marriage, so I think she came to block it, but anyway, it's okay.
She came to block it.
I guess she was going to say, who else see fit that this couple can't be joined together, you know, speak up now. I guess she intends to speak up now.
Yeah, what do you think her objection was? You don't know? She just didn't like you.
No. Well, I had dated some other people in my life before James. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that was a factor was. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was pregnant when I married, too.
You were pregnant when you married?
Yeah, I was pregnant with my daughter when I married.
Okay. And how is that why y'all got married, or we don't get married anymore?
Well, after I told him I was pregnant, he said, well, we need to go on and get married before you start showing everybody know it.
So sitting around the mink slab wasn't all y'all did on your day.
No. Okay. Okay.
But you can't.
Oh, man. No, that was all we did.
So you were pregnant, but did his sister not like you before that?
No, she did not.
Okay.
Because actually, his father, he had a way, you know. He had a sweet mother. His mother was just, Miss Lucy, she was a doll. Mm-hmm. She was just, and she took more off of her daddy than I would have, but, you know, life is life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch gears for a little bit, and let me ask you about, now, I know that you talked a lot about you guys growing up on the farm, and your dad did dairy, mm-hmm. and yeah. he did cotton. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that most of the people on the farm, most of the sharecroppers on the farm did dairy and cotton. Were there white people who worked on the farm with y'all? What was the relationship like with them between blacks and the whites on the farm?
Okay.
It was okay?
No problem.
You didn't have any problems? There was no tension? Were there white people who lived in Walter Hill all together?
Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was okay. Actually, because the white family lived up the street, up the road from us, and she and my mama was real good friends. Mm-hmm. I remember her name was Miss Ethel Rapper. Mm-hmm. I remember that name as well. She and Mama was good friends.
So did y'all did the families hang out together, or?
You mean the white and the black?
Yeah.
Not so to speak, I don't think.
Not too much?
No.
Okay. Did you have any negative experiences with white people?
Yeah, one sort of, like, They got in a fight at the store where they were together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a white, I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, down there, but this friend of mine, he got cut on the side of somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they came running to the house, our house, which wasn't far.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that they were fighting and all that. So, but
and it was the whites fighting the blacks. Okay.
But it didn't amount to much.
It didn't amount to much.
I don't think they'll call the police.
Okay. Well, you said that you grew up in a time where things were segregated, or mostly
yeah.
segregated. Were there a lot of black-owned businesses in your community?
No. Not in the general area where I live, Walter Hill?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was not.
What about?
In Murfreesboro?
Uh-huh.
There was a barbershop, beauty shops, and a restaurant. I call it a Kibbles restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all that I know of. The barbershops, the beauty shops, and the restaurant.
And the restaurant. How do you think growing up in that time affected you as an individual?
I don't really know. I don't have a negative attitude about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a positive attitude. I mean, it was just a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, I don't know how to put it. I never really thought too much about it, to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. You never really thought too much about it?
No, it's just a way of life, you know. Black, white on the water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a way of life. I didn't think it was right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, until the integration movement started, I just thought that was the way
of life.
That was the way it was going to always be, really. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can be wrong.
And then the integration movement started?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, it was just... happened.
Mm-hmm.
I never was directly involved in
that. You weren't directly involved in that. So, were there any experiences that you may have had that you said you thought it wasn't right, but was there any particular experience that you can remember where you said to yourself, now this just ain't right?
Well, one of the little girls I was keeping one time, she called me a nigger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did that go?
I told her mother.
And with her mother?
She said, Elaine, why did you say that? Why did you say that? She went on down and said something, but then I heard her daddy use the word, too, so he didn't say me, but in conversation, so.
Okay.
I said, well, he just don't know about it.
Do you think that growing up in segregation and your experience with racism affected the choices that you made for your life professionally? Like, do you think it may have set limits for you or made you want to tear down some bit, like, you know, do things beyond limits?
No, I guess I will always wanted my child to have things better than I had.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wanted her to go on to school, but she didn't do it. To go to college, you know, and she didn't do it. She went 3 months.
Okay.
But I think I would have gone to college had my father pushed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then probably I don't see myself being a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Probably done something, I don't know. But I think if my life would have been, well, no, I can't say that, because actually, if I wanted to go to college, I think it was me with all my dad. I think if I really, I could have gone and worked. I could have stayed in somebody's house and worked.
And went to college?
I could have.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I don't know what would you call that.
Well, how did... You said that segregation was a way of life.
Uh-huh.
In your community. Did you see it having any kind of effects, negative or positive effects, on the community in general?
No.
Okay.
No, because actually, I mean, people got along, you know, even the white people.
Mm-hmm.
and the black people were doing the same job. They got along. There was no issues there, you know. Mm-hmm.
So it didn't seem as though people were different from each other?
No.
Other than the race?
No.
Okay. Or there wasn't a time where you felt like one was better than the other? Because everybody was doing the same job. Okay. I'm going to make a note because that's interesting. Okay. Now, from when you were growing up, the 50s and the 40s and the 50s, what do you recall about fashion? What was it like?
Well, it's in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. What kind of clothes y'all wear?
It's been so long. Well, actually, as I said, they're coming back. Mm-hmm. The fashion. I guess the dresses were shorter, I guess.
In the 40s and the 50s?
Mm-hmm. Was shorter than they are now. Because, I mean, personally, I like to wear long dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm too short, I guess.
So they were above the knee?
Mm-hmm. Oh, down below the knee. They wasn't excessively high.
Okay.
But they were shorter than some people wear now.
Okay. So compare, like, what fashion, what people were wearing back then to what people were wearing now.
It was more that people were more covered up.
Now or back then?
Back then.
Okay.
They were more covered up. You didn't expose your body, you know, like up here for the women and mm-hmm. down here for the men. You know, my grandson, they walk around with these baggy pants. You didn't have such things then.
Uh-huh. Where you see their underwear?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No, you see everybody's underwear.
Okay.
Just got ready to go to bed.
And what about the dancing? Compare dancing then to dancing now.
Now, dancing these days now, I don't know what they're doing. But we did jitterbug and stuff like that. You know, that was the main thing. You know, you could do that. You was in. You know,
mm-hmm.
You could move with the beat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there was more couple dancing?
Mm-hmm. I really do. Because now, I don't really know what they're doing. I don't understand the music. I don't understand the dancing because I don't know what's going on.
Okay. How did you stay aware about what was going on in your community or in the world or in your city when you were growing up?
Word of mouth of the community.
Word of mouth?
Uh-huh. And we'd get the newspaper.
Okay.
Dad would get the newspaper because he liked to find a paper.
Okay. And what about now?
Now? What's mm-hmm. going on in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got TVs in this room, TVs in that room,
mm-hmm.
and they're all going at the same time.
So,
telephones. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have a telephone until later, in my late years, when we stayed out of Walter Hill. And then you want an 8-party line,
mm-hmm.
and you pick up the phone, you can listen to somebody's conversation forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in that area. It's different.
Okay, so you mentioned beans used to be your favorite food, but they don't like you anymore. So what are some of your favorite foods now?
I like salads.
Uh-huh.
And salads and more salads. I like steak every once in a while. I don't want it every day.
Okay. And now, what is the largest meal that you usually eat? You mentioned...
It's still dinner.
It's still dinner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the largest mm-hmm. meal? Okay. What does it usually include?
Our meat, that meat. I try to balance it off. Mm-hmm. Meat and starchy food.
Mm-hmm.
And vegetables. I like to feed them with green vegetables.
Okay. So... In your meals, like, is it you and your husband? Do y'all still sit down together? Or?
That's strange. You know, I try to say, well, sit down. It's always carry a plate to the TV. Nobody sits down in the kitchen with me.
Mm-hmm.
it's just, I guess, a way of life. Gotten away from it. And it's so sad. My people would rather grab a paper plate than get a dish and wash it when it finished.
What has been your greatest joy in life?
Taking care of people.
Taking care of people?
Taking care of people. It's my children, grandchildren. And I had an aunt that lived right over there. She got sick, so I had to move in with her. Care for her because my mother, she wasn't able to, my maid wasn't able to do it because she did it all the time. And so I had to take her to the doctor. I just moved in with her because she wasn't able to do it.
So it sounds like you learned a whole lot from your Aunt Eartha because she took care of you too, except without all the beating.
But that was one of my, I remember my mom was sleeping to go to the hospital. She told me to take care of the kids, children. So I've been trying. I've been trying. Until now, it's nobody but me.
Okay. And now it's nobody. So all of your sisters and brothers have passed on?
Siblings, yeah.
And what has been your greatest challenge in life? That you, when I asked you your race, you called yourself black. Is that a term that you prefer? Okay. How do you think the definition of what it is to be black has changed over the years?
Oh. People seem to think. I think more of themselves, respect themselves, raise their standards of living, just not in the same old thing, you know. Well, I'm black, I ain't supposed to do no better. I think that attitude has changed, that they want to go farther in life.
Right. So where do you think that attitude came from, that I'm black, I ain't supposed to know that?
Oh, I think it might have come from ancestors. You know, maybe come from from slavery, I don't know. That's the way I'm supposed to be, you know.
It's a way of life.
But now it seems like people are wanting to venture out and do better. Yeah, want to do better.
Okay. How do you think black-white relations in your community have changed since you were in your youth?
Okay, I think, really, if you meet a person, a white person now, they look like they're opening their mouth to speak to you before you get to them. And they, back in the day, it didn't work like that because they walked right by you like you were nothing. But like coming in this morning, like if the people start saying good morning, you know, before they say it, I mean, that has changed a lot.
Right.
And it seemed like that's, they get more friendlier every day.
So when you were growing up, they kind of treated you like you were invisible.
A lot.
How'd you feel about it?
Oh.
Looking back on it, how'd you feel about it?
I didn't like it. I really didn't like it. But I find myself now that I'm speaking too,
mm-hmm.
to them. Just as much, almost as they're speaking to me. So
mm-hmm.
maybe both sides.
Right.
I don't know.
When you were younger, you didn't speak to white people like you didn't say
good morning? I didn't know. Not the way I do now, you know.
Okay.
It's just people that I knew.
Okay. Are you involved? You said you like to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the kinds of things you do at church.
Things I do at church.
Uh-huh.
Well, as I told you, I'm the director of Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in this little group that we call ourselves the Care and Sharing Ministry,
mm-hmm.
where we go to the nursing home and we help people in the community and around, love offering sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sing in a choir. I used to play the piano for the junior choir. The men's chorus, and then we had another choir, the congregational choir, so out playing them all walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an usher, and I was a church nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to church every Sunday. I always go to church every Sunday. I enjoy church work.
What about any other groups in the community? Are you a member of any community groups?
Well, I'm in the Smithfield District Association, and I have been president of the Women's Missionary Department,
mm-hmm.
president of the Sunday School Department in that, and secretaries, etc.,
mm-hmm.
president of the nurses in that.
Okay. Now, if you could send a message to young people today, meaning something that you wanted them to remember or get from your life and your experience, what would it be? What would you say to them?
Get all the education you can. And after you get it, then get involved with your church,
mm-hmm.
and the community.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved in that.
Why?
Because I think the day is slowly coming already here that you can't get along without education.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to include in your narrative? Anything that you might want folks to know that we didn't cover?
I worked in the election office for several years.
Okay.
And I Senator Sasso out of Nashville,
mm-hmm.
he was instrumental in getting the job at Textron.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the National Convention, too. And I've been in several states by working
mm-hmm.
in the church,
mm-hmm.
going as a delegate for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is this about it, it is?
Well, I want to thank you again.
Oh, you just as well.
For participating. And if you have any questions or if you want to add anything,
mm-hmm.
then just give me a call and we
okay.
can add it on. Or we can make another time.
Oh,
to speak.
I did forget about something.
What'd you forget?
The Smithfield District Chorus. Yeah, I organized that.
Okay.
There's a guy that was going to college, Cedric Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him play for Mount Zion Choir.
Mm-hmm.
And I was acting, he was a college student. And I said it would be so nice if we could get all the district youth together.
Mm-hmm.
and form this choir.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stuck in my head, and I talked to him. So he said he would play for them. We had about 90 in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And we were instrumental, carried them to the National Convention, which met in Louisville.
What was
the time? It was over in the 70s.
Okay.
And they appeared on that program. And every year they would have a concert. And I was looking at some pictures, and they had concert one. I don't know, it was about 3 or 4 years that he was here that we did that. Now, that was a rewarding experience, mm-hmm. Being involved with that many children.
Okay. How'd you meet Senator Sasso?
Oh, through the election.
Okay.
I was through the election commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he helped you get a job?
Yeah, his representative did. For
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, it was very nice talking to you. And if you want to add anything, then just let me know. Okay.
All right.
All right.